Welcome, everybody. Welcome. This is Prophecy in the Spotlight. I'm your host, Brother Dan Goodwin, coming to you from a secure location outside of the studio. And I'm at my studio at home. I have a special guest via Zoom. This is only our second Zoom recording we've done, so bear with us. We're new at this. We haven't got it all figured out yet, but I hope the audio is good. I hope the video is good for you. Have a very special guest on Zoom today. Coming from Knoxville, Tennessee area, y'all remember a couple of weeks back we had the little book. Here it is, right? What Must I Do to Be Saved? Evangelist Dr. William P. Grady, and this book has sold like hotcakes. I mean, in 3 days the whole case plus was gone. In fact, I was in the negative. I didn't have enough books. I've got another case sitting in the living room now, and. A lot of people were saying, Brother Good, we'd like to meet him. We'd like to have him on the show. And so he's here. And we had to tie him up. We had to have him shipped in. We had to get handcuffs. And we've got him in his pastor's office now. And we forced him in here. But no, I'm kidding. Brother Grady, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. I'm glad to be here, Dan.
All right. Brother Grady was one of my instructors or professors at Bible College. And I want to say this, one of my favorite professors. I'm not just saying that because of the show, but he was. He was the guy you couldn't wait to get in his class because you're going to hear what's going on in the world. He's just that kind of guy. Very interesting to listen to. Brother Grady, if you would, my viewers, most of them have no idea who you are until we introduced you a couple weeks ago. Take a couple minutes and give your background of who is Bill Grady, what are you doing, and just share a little bit of that with him, please.
Well, okay, the Apostle Paul gave his testimony three times in the book of Acts, so I don't mind sharing it from time to time, but I was a pretty unlikely candidate to become an independent Baptist preacher. I was born in New York City, 1952. I'm 71 years old. And I was born into a strict Catholic background. My father, anyway. My mother was a Lutheran. But I grew up in the Upper East Side of Manhattan. The most famous Catholic in the history of the United States, Cardinal Francis Spellman, signed my grade school diploma in 1966. I wound up going to Delaware after my mother died and graduated from the largest Catholic high school in Delaware, in Salesianum in Wilmington. And I went to work. I went to the University of Delaware, met my wife, and then wound up working in Wilmington, Delaware for the Brandywine Cash Register Company after attending University of Delaware for a year. And while I was there, of all crazy things, the way the Lord connects dots in our lives, I sold some cash registers to a man named Bill Stevenson and his wife, who were co-owners of the newest nightclub in Delaware, the Stone Balloon Ale House. And turns out that 5 years later, that guy's wife dumped him and married Joe Biden. So Jill Biden, the current so-called first lady, was one of my customers when I was only 19 years old. Of course, that man's putting a tell-all book out now about how his wife was fooling around with Biden behind his back before they were ever divorced. So I often say, you steal a man's wife, you'll steal an election, and once a crook, always a crook. But I left the Brandywine Cash Register Company in Wilmington in 1972 and moved to New York City to work for an airline known as BOAC in those days. The building where I worked was so big on Park Avenue, it had its own zip code. Then I was transferred 9 months later to the Philadelphia airport to work in air cargo sales. While I was there, still dating my wife, we're getting ready to get married, I picked up a preacher on the radio looking for some news. And it was a Baptist pastor coming out of Clarence Larkin's home church in the Philadelphia suburb of Marcus Hook. Make a long story short, second time I visited the church out of curiosity, I was saved. And then that was August 25th, 1974, like a week after we were married. And got called to preach in October. And by 1976, I left the area, left the industry, and went to Bible College in Indiana. and started working in a steel mill. 5 years later, with three children, I graduated and moved to Idaho to start my first of two churches that I started in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. 5 years after pastoring that church, I moved back to my alma mater, like the nutty TV show, Welcome Back, Cotter. And I was teaching in my old school and taught there for 10 years, 86 to 96. Meantime, that's when you were one of my students, if I remember, Dan. Then in 93, I wrote my first book on the King James Bible called Final Authority. 3 years later, I wrote my second book, What If God Wrought? A Biblical Interpretation of American History. It's a book on Baptist history and American history. I've gotten letters from Senator Jesse Helms while he was still alive, Judge Roy Moore, Sean Hannity, I know has a copy, a friend of mine handed him one. Book's gone all over, done real well. And then I went on the road full time as an evangelist from 86 to 96, traveling full time. And pardon me, from 96 to 2005, traveling full time, taught 86 to 96, traveled full time as an evangelist. And then I wrote a few more books. I wrote How Satan Turned America Against God. That was a 6-year project. That's 900 pages, come out in 2005 on the history of the deep state in America. And then I wrote a book called Given by Inspiration, another book on the King James Bible, that came out in 2010 for the 2011 anniversary, 400-year anniversary of the King James Bible. By that time, I was off the road and pastoring a second church in Michigan, in this Flint, Michigan area. And then I started a book on the history of modern Israel called Holy Ground. Took 6 years, 18,000 hours to compile. And that's 900 pages, 200 photographs and maps. And that came out around 2016. And by that time, I was back in full-time evangelism again, which is what I'm doing now. And I live in Maryville, Tennessee, right by the Smoky Mountains. And that's about as good an update I can give you, Brother Dan.
Really great. That's great. And I was there 83 to 91. I was at Bible College. You, I had several classes with you. I'm sure you don't remember me back then, but I was a nobody. I'm still a nobody. Your inspiration book, paperback. I joke about that when I tell people the most important part of that book is page 77. And you may not remember, you mentioned me in that book, something that I said in my KJB book. I said something about Eve getting the word of God secondhand. And you like that. You put a something in your book about that. I thought that was interesting. And Brother Grady, tell me about, this is your newest book. It's hot. It just came out weeks ago. It's out. I think you're already on the second printing. This thing is really getting out there. I want to know why you wrote this. What triggered you to write a little book like this? What must I do to be saved? Why did you write this book?
Well, for the same reason I wrote the other six books. I had the direct leading of the Holy Spirit, as far as I could tell, you know. And the interesting thing is the first six books I wrote were targeted to the body of Christ. And, you know, starting back 32 years ago in 93. I had a wife and three children all that time. But then December 28th, 2021, or 22, a year, just a little over a year and a quarter ago, my oldest child died. Tragically, had a medical issue while he's driving. They think it was a heart attack in Arkansas. I know you do a lot of broadcasting in Arkansas. Clarksville, Arkansas, he went off the highway, 500 feet, 11 o'clock at night, hit an embankment, went airborne, 80-something feet, thrown out of the car. It was a very tragic situation. And he left the widow and five children. Of course, that tore my wife and I up, understandably, but very soon after that, the Lord put it on my heart to write this book for lost people. And you know how God can get very private with us and very personal with us. I wouldn't necessarily say this, except you point blank asked me. But, the Lord impressed me You know, I only had one son. You had two sons. I had two boys and a girl, and this was the oldest child that died. But then he impressed me by getting people saved with this new book, and he put it on my heart that it cost me my son in order for people, the sinners, to get saved. You know, and you know, the Bible talks about in Philippians entering into the fellowship of his suffering. I cannot know what God felt like giving up his son. But I can understand more of it than anybody else that has not lost a son or had a son pass away. So that was the idea. That was the price I was going to pay if I didn't get bitter, and I didn't. God gave my wife another victory. So we wound up, I don't tell this to a lot of people, but it's in the book. They'll see it. We dedicated the book to our son, and we have his picture here, and Daniel Patrick Grady. And he also wrote a song about who the Lord is and seeing God face to face. And we got a QR code in the book on that same dedication page. You can scan the code and see him singing that song that he wrote, singing it in his own home church, playing the guitar. And he's actually doing what he's wrote about at the moment. And so we felt that would be a noble thing to do. And so even when the first anniversary of the death came up, when the devil wanted to press a mother especially, the Lord impressed me to ask my wife to start the proofreading for the book. She's always proofread all my other six books. But to begin the proofreading on that very day, as the world even understands, turning lemons into lemonade, so the devil wouldn't get the victory. So that's a short answer, Dan, what led me to write that book, to try to help lost people get saved.
Okay. Now, Brother Grady, this is one of the prettiest covers I've ever seen. I love this cover. You don't necessarily gotta go into detail about the cover, but I want to know why you used the Acts 16 jailer scene. What caused you to use that for the book title and the cover?
Well, you know, the book title is a caricature, a representation of Paul and Silas with the jailer. Maybe they can see it. I know you posted it on your website before. And of course, it matches the question, which is the title of the book. What must I do to be saved? You couldn't get a more clear question if we're going to deal with salvation. The book is really three books in one. It's only 140 pages, 144 pages. I've got two of my six books are close to 900 pages, even more than 900. You don't drop a 900-page book on an unsaved person. But even 144 pages is a misnomer. As you know, the main part of the book that I wrote explaining the gospel is only 65 pages. The back two-thirds of the book is a John and Romans. You know, we're laborers together with God. But, you know, the Ethiopian eunuch was sitting in a chariot reading Isaiah 53. And when Philip asked him, "Understandest what thou readest?" he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" So I've got 65 pages of guidance with the word of God behind that. And I said it's three books in one. And on the copyright page, I have a QR code where you can read where I read the book, and the whole book can be scanned and someone can listen to it while they're driving, you know, off their phone. And so the cover is dramatic. It was over $3,000. A top artist in the South, Dan Erdman is his name. He's just one of the top illustrators in the whole country. You look at the gate is hanging off the hinges of that jail from the earthquake. If you could see it close, you look up the steps. You got cracks running up the steps. You got shackles where Paul's feet are all bruised up down here. The jailer's about as burned out as he could be. That's a $3,000 cover on what looks like a little booklet almost. So it's beyond impressive when you put it into the hands of the people. On the back cover, of course, I have a pretty good layout as to why someone should get the book and what it's for. And I like the first line of the book, which I believe the Holy Spirit gave me, because I'm not spiritual enough to come up with something like this. It says, "This book was written for people who love God and want to know for sure that they're going to go to heaven when they die." And basically, it's 10 brief chapters of explaining the gospel step by step. And Dan, you did a wonderful job on your opening program by showing how it's a progressive movement. Maybe you might want to review 60 seconds. You did. I wanted to buy the book after I heard you saying all that.
Well, I just thought, Brother Grady, the way you set the book up, you're right. This book was written to lost people. And as I read the book, I read every page of the 65 pages, and it was obvious that you were talking to a lost person. And what I was so impressed with, you started as if you were in their living room trying to win them to the Lord. You started by very simply getting them to see their condition, the way God sees them. You're lost. Then you led them to realize that how many sins do I have to commit to be lost? One. Then you showed that God is just and his justice has to be satisfied. You showed that if God gave in and let anybody into heaven that was not saved, that the world would implode, the universe would implode. You just led them along until you finally got to the place where, what are you going to do about it? You're lost. You know that now. If you read the book, if you came this far, you know you're lost. Here's how you get saved. What are you waiting on? That kind of a thing. And I thought, Brother Grady, this was I was so impressed. I've sent five of them already to people that I love up in Maine. My niece, I actually sent her the audio book, but she said she wanted the physical book. So I sent my niece Robin. She watches our show. I sent her a book. In fact, I sent her three. I sent her two to give to one to her husband and one to another, her sister's husband. I sent one to my mom, who watches sometimes, I think. My brother Steve, I don't know if he watches or not, but I'm not sure. You know, I want them to be sure they're saved, because, Brother Grady, I believe we're at the end of this thing. I believe the trumpet is out of the case. I believe we're moments away from getting out of here. And I want to make sure my loved ones are saved. And that's why I think this is a tremendously important book for my audience to get a hold of. If you've got anybody, I'm talking my audience now, if you've got anybody in your family or friends, loved ones, people you care about, friends, co-workers, if you're not sure of their salvation, if you think they'll take this book from you and do something with it, you need to order some of these. We've got a deal on the website, prophecyinthespotlight.com. We got a deal. We could get five of them for $50 free shipping. You can buy one if you want, but a lot of people have been buying five, and then send them to your loved ones. Put a note in there with it, or hand it to them. So, Brother Grady, I've got hopes that some people that I care about are going to be influenced by this book. I don't see how anybody could read this and not want to be saved and not understand it. It's that clear. So, Brother Gray, why don't you just share a little bit? Start with the rope, George Whitfield's statement about the rope of sand. Say a little bit about that.
Yeah, the first chapter of the book, as we're talking about it, it's sequence. It's going one little step at a time. George Whitfield was a British evangelist that came to America seven different times. He preached his last sermon when he was going to, on a Saturday afternoon in Exeter, New Hampshire. He was heading to the Old South Presbyterian Church in Newburyport, Massachusetts. He'll get there that night. He'll die in the middle of the night of asthma. So this is his last public service. Thousands of people showed up there in New Hampshire when they knew he was there and asked him to preach, and he was dying with asthma. So he got up on two hogsheads of tobacco on a big old board suspended over the two hogsheads, and he preached for 2 hours. He could barely breathe. And he pretty much wrapped the sermon up by saying, "Works, works, a man could get to heaven on his works. I would just as soon try to climb up to heaven on a rope of sand than to trust works." So we just call that the rope of sand to get their attention. And we survey all the verses in the Bible that say good works can't possibly save anybody. And we take them then, the next chapter, I think, is called The Passing Grade. Religion always tells you you have to be good than bad, but they never tell you how good. What's the passing grade? 60, 70? Well, Bible said it's 100%, and God knows nobody can make that. But, they don't know that, religious people. And when they see the scriptures, if they're interested in knowing the truth, God is able then to begin showing it to them chapter by chapter. And, Brother Dan said, you should be thinking of people you can influence with this book. You ought to be buying them by the caseload if you're able to. I had a lady, the first sale we had was a stay-at-home homeschool mom in North Carolina, Wilmington, North Carolina. Name was Carol. First customer. She wrote me a check for a whole case, 60 books. I had a grandmother from New Mexico order an entire case 2 days ago. I just got back from Sioux City, Iowa, and preached over there for a few days. The pastor ordered 17 cases. He wants to put a book in every house in Sioux City, Iowa, over 1,000 books. I mean, you can just use your imagination, think out of the box. But you just think about how many people you could influence. And one of the other things I might mention, I don't milk this, if you want to use that term, to sell books. But for people who already have the books, I've recommended some wisdom to them. You know, America's a proud country. You can't hardly hand a gospel tract to a stranger, or even somebody you might know. It's pushing it in their face. Third world countries, you throw the tracts out the window, the people riot to get them, you know. But America's a proud country. But the Lord gave me the idea, you go up to your friend or, you know, somebody at the bank, your barber, somebody you have social contact with a lot, but you're not, you know, you're worried about them. And you tell them, you know, a preacher friend of mine had a son die in a car wreck. And he wrote a book to honor his son's memory, dedicated it to him. We're getting these circulating around. Maybe you'd get a blessing out of it. And you offer it. You know, then nobody will turn that down in a million years. So it's be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I'll tell you something else unusual. The John and Romans that we have in the back of the book came from Bearing Precious Seed Ministries in Lansing, Michigan, Parker Memorial Baptist Church. You know, Brother Dan, they loaned me or gave me one of their printed John and Romans to put at the back of this book. And then they turned around and ordered 5 cases of the book. And 2/3 of the book is their own John and Romans. How funny is that?
Yeah.
So,
Brother Grady,
we had 11,000 books come in last month for the first printing. 11,000. I'm down to about 50 books. We have 7,500 emergency second printing coming in within about 7 days. So they're going wild. Prison ministries are buying them to give to prisoners. I just had a guy call me today at 200 he bought. He's giving them out to the chaplain to distribute them Friday. It's just, you think outside of the box. Whatever you do, don't just buy one or two of them. You need to be getting 5, 10, 15, 20 at a time.
Yep. And we have them at the website here, folks. If you want to get 5 of them, just go to Protestant Spotlight. You'll see it right there on the front page. I promise you, you will love this book. And you'll want to get this in the hands of people. I plan on getting more because I'm thinking of more people all the time that I want to get one in their hands. And Brother Grady, before I don't want us to run out of time. My favorite chapter, and I tell people don't skip the first 4 chapters, but my favorite chapter is chapter 5. And I went into detail on that in the book. I went into detail on it on the show last couple weeks ago. But I thought if you could take a couple minutes and share that story about the tale of two cities, I think, because you do much a better job explaining and sharing that than I can do. Could you do that for us?
Yeah, sure. The chapter that leads into chapter 5, chapter 4, is called Spiritual Death Row. And, you know, most lost people think I'm going to have to wait till I go to heaven to find out if I make it or not, you know? And, they don't realize they're condemned once they reach the age of accountability because they have a sin nature now and they're in trouble. And you have to be perfect to pass God's, high watermark. James 2:10, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend at one point is guilty of all. So whoever believeth not on him is condemned already, John 3:36, present state. So we're all on a spiritual death row. That's the chapter before. So chapter 5, I talk about the Tale of Two Cities, written by Charles Dickens.
And Brother Grady, let me jump in real quick. I just want to, you know, you got about 2.5 minutes. Is that, can you just briefly share that, or is that not enough time?
Sure. Charles Dickens was a saved man. He wrote a book called Tale of Two Cities, where a man had his friend in a guillotine lockup waiting to be executed. And he snuck into the prison with someone helping him and drugged the guy, put him to sleep, changed clothes with him, and had his friend taken out in his place. And he remained behind incognito and was guillotined for his friend. And the movie, Tale of Two Cities, ends the same way the printed book ends. With up in the clouds, you see the scripture from John 10, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So it's the perfect picture. And so I tell these readers, you have a visitor outside of your death row cell. It's the Lord Jesus. He's not going to drug you and drag you out. You have to invite him in. If you'll invite him in, he'll come into your cell and you get to go out and he takes your place. That's the deepest truth a lost man will ever learn. Somebody else paid for his crimes.
And I love that statement that's in the book here. It says, prisoner number such and such, you have a visitor. Man, that hit me. That hit me. I mean, that's Jesus showing up and saying, hey, I'm willing to take your place. But he knocks at the door and he doesn't force himself in like the other, like the guy's friend poisoned him or put him to sleep so he could switch places with him to save his life. Jesus doesn't do that. He offers, but we have to agree to that. We have to invite him in, don't we?
That's right. I was in a church service last night and a woman walked up to me after reading the book and said, I couldn't believe what I read when you said that God loves us so much that if we wind up going to hell, we'll go to hell going over his son's dead body.
And I know that's in the book too. I remember. Well, we're out of time, Brother Gray. We've got about a half a minute. Folks, this is my good friend, my professor from Bible College days, and we love Brother Grady. Brother, nobody agrees on everything. I know that, and Brother Grady and I probably would differ on a few minor things, but I love the man. I'd drive a long way to hear this man preach, and I mean that. You will love this book. I hope you'll get it. Hope you'll order as many as you can. Give these things out, and we want to hear some testimonies from some folks that you know that got saved after reading the book. We'd love to hear about that. I know Brother Grady would love to hear about that. And so, all righty. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the program today. Order the book. And until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.